Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Got a couple of texters complaining that we're not giving weather updates. It is freezing cold.
Yes.
It is -7 on my phone, and it says it feels like -19.
What better time to ask the sports guy to come in about 5 hours normally earlier than he would normally wake up, go stand out in the wind and the snow and the cold, and tell other people not to do the same.
Do yourself a favor. I'm watching and looking out below. We're on the 9th floor, and I see people not wearing a hat. Put a hat on.
No, you need a hat.
Got good news, and I've got bad news. The good news is that I can still feel my face right now. The bad news is I kind of wish I couldn't.
Get your warmest clothes on.
Yes.
And don't walk outside. All right. With enough of our public service announcements.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
But baby, it's cold outside.
Let's go.
Hey, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's two out. It's number two, David. So there you go.
Morning, Mully. Yes, it's another cold Wednesday, but it's heating up at Hallis Hall. How's that? It's going to be a warm day at 1920 Football Drive.
It feels like -1, apparently.
It does. It's well, I think that you want to be prepared. It is late January now. This is Chicago in the winter. We can bemoan it. We can complain about it. And we can do all that we have done and would continue to do, but we can't do anything to change it. Unless we want to go somewhere warm. You want to go somewhere warm?
I certainly do. I would rather do that than search for a sneeze.
For Are God's you searching
sake.
For a sneeze?
I was for
you
a
You don't really
there.
Have to search. It's going to just hit you. Stop searching.
I was
searching.
Trying to time yeah. it so that I wasn't sneezing while broadcasting.
Going to be a big day. Yeah, it is another cold winter day. I think snow could be on the way, but it is going to be the focus at Hallis Hall. Ben Johnson, as we heard
yes.
coming in, telling everybody to get back to work.
That was funny.
That was funny. He took advantage of that moment. He made the most of it.
That was good.
And he gets more time today at the microphone as we continue to get our first impression of the Bears' new head coach, which has everybody really excited.
Yeah, I think, you want him to help. They hired the guy most likely to help Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Is that fair?
That, definitely
is that
fair.
Not what they were after?
That is what they were after.
Yeah.
I think they also, before we even get to that point, they hired the guy we least expected them to hire.
The most obvious
and
guy.
And we're working through that in terms of processing and getting reactions
right.
and people wondering, well, I thought that you said and thought that this was bad and we thought all this. We thought the Bears were going to do what they often have done, and that is not take advantage of the opportunity that was right in front of them.
Yeah.
The element of surprise is still there. It's still somewhat stunning to think that the Bears, went out and they got the number one candidate on the head coaching market and in large part got him because they were willing to pay him top dollar.
Yeah, but, I mean, they got him.
I know.
And whatever way you got to do it. And I'll tell you what, there's all sorts of rumors floating around about the staff he's putting together. If they bring Hank Fraley in here, former Eagle, if they bring him in as the, I guess they'd have to make him the offensive.
Well, it won't be easy, but yeah.
Well, he's
it'd be a good hire.
It would be a hell
yeah.
of a hire.
Good
he's
staff.
He's a great offensive line.
Yeah,
coach.
Good staff, and this is something that Ben Johnson understands about surrounding himself with guys who are respected and experienced. I think the
yeah.
defensive hire of Dennis Allen could also be significant. He's one of those guys, as we have talked about,
yeah,
excellent coordinator, not so great as a head coach, but understands leadership.
I think that'd be a great hire. I think they're talking about a lot of guys. I saw Hank Fraley's name And I know that he's been out in Seattle. I think he's had two job interviews.
He had a second yesterday, I believe. Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, you would be stealing him out from under them if you could pull this off. And if the question would be, if he wants to be an offense coordinator, does he want to do it in Seattle, or does he want to do it with a guy he knows is going to be there doing it? And he just made the gesture.
It comes down to money. And yes, when you talk about assembling all-star staffs, that means a commitment from ownership and the organization to compensate those guys in a way that reflects that. It sounds like Ben Johnson has that autonomy or has that power to do that. And if he does, it makes you wonder. We're getting into the weeds a little bit, but number one, who is his staff going to be comprised of? And secondly, I'm curious about his – Dave has talked about it. What's Ben Johnson's input on the 53-man roster?
Well, that's a great question, because I'll tell you what, you hire a guy like Hank Fraley, get out of the way and let him pick a player.
Get out of the way. You're right. Let him have input through Ben Johnson. Also, the game day choices, your 45 guys who are up, do you want a fullback? Are you going to have three tight ends or four or maybe two? I don't know, because what do you favor and what do you want?
I get a tight end that can catch a one-handed pass.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I want some of that from Cole Kmet.
Holy cow.
I want Cole Kmet to imitate Sam LaPorta.
That was a very impressive touchdown.
That was such a great play. And that was such a great throw from Goff.
Great throw.
That was one of the few he had on that day.
Yeah, he had a rough game.
Rough one. But thankfully for the Bears, he had a rough one, because let's face it, if the Commanders don't pull the upset that they pulled, we're still waiting.
Oh, yeah.
We're still waiting for clarity.
I guess here's the thing, David. This is the position that I'm in that I'm very much not used to being in. I think the Bears have hired a coach fairly quickly here. I'm used to them taking every minute, stretching it out. And maybe that would have been the case if this guy had gone to the Super Bowl. But I'm used to the Bears hiring late and then selecting kind of a picked over group for their coaching staff. This is a different feeling when a guy is out interviewing somewhere and there are rumors that he may end up in Chicago. Like, what?
Join the club.
Yeah.
We're used to thinking the worst and expecting the worst when it comes to the Bears and offseason coaching moves.
And
the money.
And the scratch.
They're not being willing to step up and get their guy. What this is, and I think it does reflect, you talk about a new era. You can talk about the Ben Johnson era, whatever you want. But if they're paying top dollar for the best coaches available, that's something. Now, the Bears, obviously we'll go back to the Dave Wannstedt example, and they outbid the Giants. That was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
What we have had and endured since, there's been a lot of coaching searches that have not gone the Bears' way. There have been a lot of good assistant coaches that have not come to Chicago for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Waited too long, didn't pay him enough, all those things.
Yeah.
This feels different.
It does feel different. It does feel like they're trying to get a good group in here, and maybe they will. I like that they hired Ben Johnson. I liked everything I saw yesterday, him and his young family coming in. I mean, that's great stuff. He can't wait to get to work. He's got a lot of work to do. And a lot of it pertains almost exclusively to the quarterback. So that's on him.
That's job one.
That's what that is. And you know what? That's why they hired him.
Caleb Williams is job one.
When Dave said, why did they hire you? Do the thing you do. That's why they hired him. That's what he needs to do.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Yes.
And Dave said that, and it could not be more true.
Yep.
And in Chicago, the main thing is Caleb Williams. So whatever you need to do to establish a rapport, to get him on board, to correct his mistakes, to get him feeling comfortable, to improve at a rate that puts him back on track to being the generational talent, however you want to refer to Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson is here to fix whatever went wrong last year.
Ben Johnson is here to make him Jaden Daniels.
I think that's a good way to look at it. I think that is, or put him back on course where you're not wondering if you got the wrong quarterback. And right now, as the Commanders get ready to go into Philadelphia and steal a game and go to the Super Bowl.
That kid is cool as a cucumber.
And that's not inconceivable given, do we know how Jalen Hurts is? Do we know how mobile he will be?
Yeah.
These are questions you wonder about. And the Eagles could still ride Saquon Barkley all the way to the Super Bowl.
They could ride Saquon Barkley and a certain defensive lineman,
Jalen Carter.
Well,
he could be a game wrecker. He could get in Jaden Daniels' way. But your point's a good one. What you want to do is you want to make up for lost time. And last year, when you have Caleb Williams enduring two head coaches, three offensive coordinators, and two play callers, that qualifies as lost time.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I agree with you. That's what it qualifies for.
Among other
things. You think about all those people that you paid various sums of money. Better to cough now for the one guy and get the right people in than have to keep moving money around while you get rid of people.
It still is somewhat of an eye-opener that the Bears are this organization that is going out, and they seemed very
hell-bent.
Very committed.
Getting the right guy.
Getting the right guy and paying him.
That's it.
Paying him.
Money wasn't an object. It really wasn't.
And as Brad Biggs pointed out, I think that it's obvious that there were some back channel conversations being had. And you wonder the role, you know, Rick Smith representing Jeff King as a player, Jeff King being in the committee and involved in the Bears front office, and also representing Ben Johnson. So a lot of these conversations, what would it take? Are you guys willing to go here? Are you willing to go there? This came together very quickly, but it looks like, and even there's a report out there that Albert Breer said that Ben Johnson was intrigued by the job last year before, but it wasn't open.
Right.
So when he says to the assembled employees at Hallis Hall, the group that surrounded him, that they want to be here.
Get back to work.
That was the best line. But when he says that.
Yeah.
It's almost like he has envisioned him being at this job for more than 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. No, this isn't a new – this is he's thought this through a little bit, and it's great. It's really good. I got to tell you, I don't have any complaints about the Bears coaching search. This was the guy I kind of – this was the top-ranked guy. This was the hot candidate. This was the guy you thought is what the quarterback needs. You heard from the quarterback. This is what the quarterback wanted. I just think they really, and it's a little bit of a shock to be able to say it, but they did a pretty good job. Now, that doesn't mean it's perfect. That doesn't mean there won't be any bumps in the road. That doesn't mean it's onto the playoffs next year and onto Super Bowl glory. But I like the message the guy had about the importance of the team. Let's not lose sight of that. Well, the vice president's being told, hey, it's the team. It's the locker room. Those are the most important guys. That has to be the center of everyone, and they got to feel it.
That was a really good move gesture by Ben Johnson, reminding everybody that everybody in that building at Hallis Hall is there for the players.
Yes.
And it's all about the players. Yep. And that will go a long way with the players.
Of course it will.
So when you talk about getting off on the right foot, we'll hear today him – continue, I think, along that path, because he's going to not only win the press conference, but it's going to be Ben Johnson winning the press conference by 2 touchdowns. Yeah. You know that's happening. And so we're going to be in the situation again. The place we have been before is the Bears have won off seasons before.
Yes.
They don't hang banners for that.
No.
But there's been a lot of excitement. The free agent signing, the draft, all the things that get you kind of hyped for the next season.
I hate to say it, but it did cross my mind. They won the offseason again. it's kind of when they really make their mark.
It'd be nice
if it was in season.
No doubt. I mean, January should not be about winning the offseason. It should be about beating your playoff opponent.
Yes.
But it's been too long in Chicago since it's been that way. So here we are again, back to square one. Celebrating an off-season success, wondering if it's going to create and translate into in-season, playoff victories. I don't know, but it feels different only because Ben Johnson was the guy everybody wanted. And I go back to, when was the last time the Bears introduced a head coach, as they will do today at 11 o'clock, and there was such a consensus that they got it right?
Yeah, that hasn't happened even like... Everyone says, like, date back to Ditka. Hey, Ditka didn't have – normally, and I – you got to be careful about this sort of thing, but normally getting it right doesn't necessarily translate into having success in some places, right?
This could still not go well. You're right. There's still – the objective people are still remembering that going from offensive coordinator to head coach is still a quantum leap. And there still are examples like Brian Daboll who are out there and make you wonder. Josh McDaniels didn't work out. I don't think this will be that, but who knows? So I think you still temper your enthusiasm with a little bit of restraint. But you do have to go back probably to Dave Wannstedt the last time
they got the hottest guy on the market.
Yeah, you felt like that. This was exciting. This is what everybody wanted. Lovie Smith was at first. Well,
yeah, that was. Don't you remember how that went down? That was trouble.
That wasn't the greatest first.
Well, you know, Nick Saban was the guy they.
That
were
was the
after,
guy they wanted.
It was the guy that
they settled for. Lovie Smith. Yes. That was the way it was interpreted at the time. It turned out great.
Yeah.
But they went after the big fish, and that was Nick Saban. Yes. They didn't get him, so they settled for Lovie.
Yep.
And then after Lovie, the rest is sordid history. Because Matt Nagy had 1 year in there, but there wasn't this kind of enthusiasm surrounding his hire that there is around Ben Johnson.
And I got to say, so like you sit back and you're waiting for tomorrow. So you're watching the video of his introduction and the family, and that was cute. And you're reading the statements, and they're just printed statements, and there's not a lot in there. But I got to tell you, like, you know, kudos to Kevin Warren for just overseeing this and it happening. So I felt that he deserved a nod. I got to tell you, the one thing that kind of is blown my mind about all this is I felt like with Ryan Poles here, it was going to be difficult to hire Ben Johnson. I really thought that, and just talking to people around the league, you got this sense that was a real problem for the coach. And hearing Poles talk about them working together, I just thought, wow, I didn't see that one coming.
What we heard in the statement that the Bears released yesterday, making this all official, was totally contrary to the tone of the conversations since Matt Eberflus was fired.
Yeah, you're right.
And this doesn't – look – We misread it, or we misrepresented it, or we got bad information, or a lot of people were under the impression that Ben Johnson wanted to bring his own guy.
Yes.
That was not just something that was emanating from this studio or this media center in Chicago. That was a league-wide understanding.
Oh, yeah.
And so this surprised a lot of people. We were locally, if we were guilty of something, it was being cynical based on our own experiences covering this team and not expecting them to bring it all together. But you're right. So they have to get
the fact that he wasn't the impediment to being able to hire the right coach.
That's a surprise.
I had gotten to a point over the weekend where I thought, just talking to some people around the league, the scuttlebutt was that, this isn't going to happen because of him.
There are some people that believe that Vegas still fired their GM because they thought that would make it more attractive to Ben Johnson.
That's right.
How would you like to be in Vegas right now if you fired the guy that you thought you could live with in Tom Telesco?
Yeah.
But you did it for nothing.
Well, didn't work.
It didn't work. And Lance Newmark, the guy that we thought was going to be going to Vegas and bringing Ben Johnson with him, is now going to be the next general manager of the Jets.
Yeah, that's wild.
So it is wild. He's going to be maybe paired with Aaron Glenn. But I think that
Aaron Glenn got out of that building. They didn't.
He did. He escaped. Second floor window. Aaron, I'll be right there. but nonetheless, look, the cynicism about the Bears.
That closet door open. Damn it. He told you to lock him in there.
Ben Johnson knew something. He knew something that nobody else really knew. He knew that he wanted to work in Chicago. And I think that he wanted to work in Chicago. It appears badly enough that a sitting general manager and decades worth of dysfunction weren't going to stop him from chasing and achieving that goal.
Right. That's great. It's really good. And you know, again, the Caleb Williams thing is huge. And his role in his development and his future is huge. And I think that when we hear from him today, I'm sure we'll get that message. I look forward to hearing from him. I want to know more about the staff he's going to bring in around him. And I'm just really curious. I also am fascinated by looking at the division. I'm really interested in how they replace them in Detroit, how they deal with other perhaps people leaving that staff, and how that damages what they do, or does it damage what they do? It'll be really interesting. Plus, the way they checked out of the playoffs, and that goes for Minnesota, that goes for Green Bay, and obviously for Detroit. So it's really an interesting period of
time. It's an interesting time in the division. I still think this is the best division in football. And the playoff misses, you don't want to rationalize, but the Rams were a team playing for a cause on a mission in Arizona. The Vikings ran into a buzzsaw there. The Lions, likewise, were injured defensively. They have a record number of players on injured reserve.
Yes.
And the Commanders are the hot team, the it team, this postseason. They both beat teams in the NFC North that were very good. 15 victories, 14 victories. I still think that next year, the Bears, if there's one team that's going to come back to them, it might be the Vikings because of uncertainty at the quarterback position.
Yep.
But Ben Johnson coming to Chicago just got Kevin O'Connell a contract extension.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Don't you think that accelerated the process?
And I don't think their coordinator is leaving anytime soon.
Brian Flores is going to be there. That defense is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So Ben Johnson versus Brian Flores is going to be a matchup, I think, that we're going to get used to enjoying and anticipating. But they feel like the Bears, that they're equipped now to be in to make a challenge for the division at some point in time. How fast? I don't know. It's the NFL.
Yeah.
You don't have to be out 3 years. It doesn't have to be a complete rebuild. If you felt like the roster was playoff ready at the beginning of this season, rebuild the offensive line and you might be back in that situation.
Yeah, I think both sides of the line. I think they need help on the line.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Obviously, you know, if the guy's going to do his magic on offense, you need an offensive line. I would concentrate on that. But I would say, you know, if they don't take an offensive lineman in the first round, they could take one in the second and take two in the second, and that would be okay. But they definitely have to get either an offensive or defensive lineman.
The emphasis of the draft should be to control the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Now, if you get somebody on the defensive line that helps you do that with three of the first 41 picks or whatever, it's three of the first 41, I believe.
Yes.
If whatever it is that helps you accomplish that goal, controlling the line of scrimmage, then it will be, I think, an acceptable draft pick. If you go out and you get cute, if you get a wide receiver, did you see Caleb Williams appearing in New Orleans with Ashton Jeanty, the Boise State running back?
Oh, is that right? That's funny.
Could you see them choosing him? That would be getting cute. That would be the Jahmyr Gibbs pick the Bears can't afford to make.
I mean, we'll get into all this draft stuff, and it was fun to think about.
It is.
But I saw, was it PFF? Who did I say? They had the Bears taking, I believe they took an offensive tackle with the 10th pick. They took a defensive end. They took the kid from Arkansas with the shaved head. You know, he's got the spot baldness problem that Will Smith's wife had. They took him in the second round, and then they took Cam Scataboo.
Oh, Scataboo.
With the second
Scataboo. Scataboo would be the consummate Bears player. Every Grabowski out there would love Scataboo. Can you imagine Scataboo? He'd have his own show by week 5.
Dustin is pumping his fist. He's very
Scataboo, straight ahead, driving those legs.
He would pit-snoggle his way all the way into the hearts of Bears fans everywhere.
But that was there. That was one of the first three picks.
Stay away from running backs.
Yeah, I thought we might be early for a running back. But then they took another lineman later on.
So you're okay with it?
No, I'm just saying. They kind of get it.
You've been scatabooed.
I've been scatabooed myself. All right. 312-644-6767. We'll get to your reaction to the introductory moment. It was a fun little thing. We'll play it for you. We also have the pick six. We'll get into the pick six. We'll pick apart all the stories of the day. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was your take on Ben Johnson's arrival at Halas Hall? Is there any concern Johnson is being regarded as a savior and not a coach? Did you like his message to the other employees up at Halas Hall?
Nothing more important than that locker room and us serving that locker room and those players. All right? They need to understand that. They need to feel that from us every single day. And if we do that, the wins are going to come. The playoffs are going to come.
Your reaction to hearing Ben Johnson yesterday up at Halas Hall?
You know, I thought he, you know, the old line, you only have one chance to make a first impression. I thought he made a great first impression. He came in, he cracked wise, everyone had a laugh. There was great energy in the building. And then he got to his message, and that was his message. And that was what he was reminding everybody. And I think it's an important message. It's not you're working in the NFL and you have a job, and I think everybody gets caught up in what they're doing and how they're doing it. It's why are you there? What's the point of the exercise? It's about the locker room. It's about the players. It's about the team. And you want to support the team and be around the team and help the team. And it's not about you and what you're doing and whatever. I think anybody who works in a place like that needs that message. I think it's a good message to send, and I think it's an important one. The players, that's how you win. Players matter, and I hope that that is taken into account in all walks of the building. And I, you know, you get happy team, you got a winning team.
Mully, I agree. You never get a chance to make a first impression. It was a good first impression. Great great video put out by the Bears. There was a video that circulated a little bit before time that maybe the Bears weren't too happy about. We could get into that later, potentially. But, you know, setting the bar pretty high. Now, he didn't say when, but, you know, he put it out there. And the playoffs are going to come. Right, the playoffs are going to come. We also, you guys got a sense of humor. You heard it as we wrapped up the pregame show. Get back to work, right? The guy commanded the room, something else that we've talked about. Can he be a leader of men? Can he command a room? Or is he just this, you know, really intelligent, offensive-minded geek that's going to hide behind a laminated play sheet? I don't think that's the case. Now, more to come today, but as far as a first impression and winning the first time the Bears were able to capture him on video and audio for social media, that was a touchdown Ben Johnson.
We did not know this about Ben Johnson. We wondered how he would be proverbial front of the room, and we wondered if he could have command. This guy led with a joke. He had everybody laughing. This guy is a savvy communicator, and I think that when you saw his rah-rah enthusiasm, it's not for everybody, but it's appropriate now. And this is how you win over people, because he also understood that he wasn't only talking to the people that were gathered on the second floor and watching him talk and hearing him, you know, articulate his vision and all those things. He's talking to the players. That was meant for the players. That strategy of saying that it's all about the players and the people in the locker room was smart. It wasn't selfish. He wasn't taking that moment, his first real moment at Halas Hall, and telling everyone what it meant to him in his career. Said him and his family, that's a good move too, in that building for that ownership group. Yes, absolutely. His family with the young kids, it was straight out of Central Casting. No, it wasn't Brian Kelly. It was the opposite of Brian Kelly. This is a likable guy. This is a guy we didn't know if he would bring that to make it as obvious this early that he was a good communicator in front of people. The charisma, the energy, the temperature in the room changed when he walked into it yesterday.
I mean, it's a great question.
What is your take on the Bears rumored to be hiring Lions offensive line coach Hank Fraley as their new OC under Ben Johnson. Fraley is interviewing for the same job out in Seattle with the Seahawks, second interview there. How great would it be if the Bears could add one of the best O-line coaches in the NFL? The Lions, they're rumored to be promoting their passing game coordinator to the OC position. Will the Lions take a step back next year?
Well, it's inevitable. They probably will. They're going to have to replace both coordinators. I think the Bears going after a guy like Hank Fraley, whose reputation is as good as it ever has been, speaks to how aggressive they will be and how attractive this job will be and this destination will be for assistant coaches who likely will be compensated well. That had to be one of the conditions for Ben Johnson taking this job. He'll take care of his assistants, and he'll try to attract the best in the business. Hank Fraley would qualify. If they don't get him, that doesn't make this any less exciting for the offense. It won't mean any much difference for your projections. It would just make things better. Just like when you bring in Dennis Allen defensively, that will make that better. He'll be the assistant head coach, essentially, in charge of the defense, much the way that Vic Fangio was for Matt Nagy. When you don't know how Ben Johnson will make the transition to be a head coach with all that comes with those responsibilities, accountability, and in doling out discipline and being in charge of late game management, all those things, you need a experienced guy like Dennis Allen running your defense if that's not your area of expertise. So this is a good indication that Ben Johnson is going to attract the best in the league for his staff. The all-star staff, as I think Adam Schefter referred to it, or star-studded staff. So if they get, frankly, great. If they don't, I still think they'll get somebody who's very good at his job.
Star-studded?
Florio was beautiful with you guys yesterday. I like this idea of Hank Fraley as the offensive coordinator. He'd really be the offensive line coach and the offensive coordinator, as we know that Ben Johnson will be calling the plays on Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays or Friday, whenever the NFL decides to play a game. I guess maybe Tuesday is the one day the NFL won't play a game unless that falls on Christmas. You always want to take coaches away from the team in your division. The only thing you have to tap the brakes on, this was part of the selling point with Craig Counsell. And what did the Brewers do? They won the division without the great Craig Counsell. And the replacement for Craig Counsell won the coach of the year, manager of the year, skipper of the year, David, skipper of the year. So maybe that always doesn't work. But yes, I believe the Lions will take a step back. And let's hope that the friendship between Hank Fraley and Ben Johnson is strong enough to get him to come to Chicago and not go west to Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, either way, it's going to hurt the Lions. But that would be a great guy to bring in here. I was talking to a crusty old veteran coach who had joked with me before that it was no surprise that Poles and Ben Johnson had gotten together, because when you think about it, they'd both kind of passed on Jaden Daniels. He said that he could have been the coach in Washington, but let Dan Quinn get that job, and obviously the general manager took Caleb. And I didn't find it. I told him I thought Caleb was going to be okay. We didn't have a great conversation. Then he texted me later and said that, hey, if they get Fraley, I'll change my opinion on everything the Bears are doing. So I don't know if he's throwing me a bone or not. But
does he not like the move?
With who?
With Ben Johnson?
No, he didn't dislike it. He was just joking about the way they got together. But no, he loved the move with Fraley. He thought it would be something that would make him more complete as a coach, because there'd be an element that isn't his expertise that would be looked out for. And I think that's what you're talking about with the defensive coordinator as well, and special teams. You know, the key with all of these jobs, if you have the money that the Bears are apparently providing to get the best, is to understand your own limitations and make sure that you are hiring people that are going to benefit you as a head coach. So that's apparently what he's doing, and I think it's great. I think it'd be really a good one.
I love the question.
Voice of Stacey Dale. She's with you guys at 9 this morning. How important is the AFC title game to Kansas City, in Kansas City, for the Bills and their quarterback, Josh Allen? Can you believe the 28-year-old Allen is has the most wins by a quarterback without a Super Bowl appearance. Most wins in the playoffs without. He's at 7 right now. It's 2 more victories than the next group of quarterbacks: Philip Rivers, Mark Brunell, Danny White. Those 3 have 5. How important is Sunday to Josh Allen?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Josh Allen needs to play in a Super Bowl, period, end of story. I don't think he will be I don't, you know, he's still young enough that he can play in plenty of Super Bowls, but I think that's how we judge quarterbacks. That is really the way that you assess them, and there are other guys on the scene now that are pretty good quarterbacks, and they've been coming up in the last couple of years, and I think that you want to be a guy. Big win for him to get past Lamar, but you don't want to be the guy that can't beat Patrick Mahomes, which is really the whole bloody league. So you want, you know, are they favored by a point, or is it a pick 'em?
2 right now, 2.
2, they're favored by 2 points. He needs to have a huge game to get them to where they want to go. And I get it. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs haven't had this great season. They haven't had this dominant season. They've just won. And that's how you get home field, and that's when it becomes really important, is when you have it in a championship game like this. So it's a big game for Josh Allen. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. He's got 7 playoff wins. That's fantastic. But you got to get to a Super Bowl. It's time.
Well, Josh Allen's going to have to pass the ball a little bit better than he did the other night. Obviously, the Bills won. They survived. They advanced. They're at this point. But they're playing against a team on the road that has now been in 7 straight AFC title games. I mean, does Josh Allen need it? I mean, I think he needs it as much as Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson can barely make it to an AFC title game, you know, 3-5 in the divisional round. So it's big, but again, this is the Michael Jordan of NFL. And here's another part of this. Like, are we, our fans, is the public, are we tired of the Chiefs, or do we want this story? Do we want to see if they can three-peat? Can they get down to New Orleans and have the opportunity to three-peat and kind of set a new standard in the NFL? I think it's a story, I'll speak for myself, that I want to see happen. I want to see them get to the point where they can three-peat. I don't want the Chiefs' run to end this Sunday. And again, you'll hear those games on The Score this weekend, starting with the coverage at 1 o'clock.
Josh Allen winning as much as he has in the playoffs, I think, speaks to who he is as a quarterback, but also he's on a remarkably consistent team. I mean, the Bills' consistency sometimes gets overshadowed by the Ravens and the Chiefs because of what they've done. But Josh Allen, yeah, he needs a victory, and he'd love to see him in the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl so he can put himself at a different level. But I think this is as much on the rest of the team as it is on him on Sunday. I think he's going to play. He could have a game, and he has had games against the Chiefs where he played well enough and he deserved to win, and they didn't win because right, something Mahomes did or something the Chiefs defense did or something, whatever. It's out of his hands. He can only control so much. He is the most important player on that team, so we evaluate him. But, Dustin, I would say that, yeah, his numbers weren't great on Sunday, but he made some clutch plays and some unbelievable throws that reminded you of why he is in this position and why we're talking about him in this way. I do think that there's some Chiefs fatigue, but they are likable because of Mahomes. I think Kelce has his own following, and Andy Reid is fun to root for. So this is going to be a great matchup. I don't know that I'll look at Josh Allen that much differently until he wins a Super Bowl. That's not fair, but that's the way, unfortunately, quarterbacks are evaluated. He's good enough to win a Super Bowl this year. If he doesn't, then I think he's still going to be one of those guys like Joe Burrow, like Lamar Jackson, that is in the category of the best guys who have never won at all.
It's a good question.
And that's the voice of Chris Chelios. He's here at 8:44. We'll get his opinions on the Bears landing Ben Johnson as the next head coach. What is your take on the Baseball Hall of Fame's 3-man class? Ichiro Suzuki, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner. How about Mark Burley remaining on the ballot after getting 11.4% of the vote? Will he ever make it to the Hall of Fame?
I voted for all 3 guys. I think they all are deserving. I'm glad Billy Wagner got in. I think that he, when you look at his numbers, they're staggering in terms of the consistency over the years, and his reaction to getting into the Hall of Fame. You could play the audio, but there is no audio. It's just him crying. And the video is touching, and you think that, boy, somebody like that waiting as long as he has, that was a nice moment. Ichiro, obviously, he's one of the best of his generation, no doubt about it. The fact that it wasn't unanimous is silly. Somebody out there either made a mistake or filed a ballot that they wanted to be noticed. And CC Sabathia, the numbers for him, they're just the durability, 19 seasons, and his postseason record and the All-Star games and the Cy Young Award, I think he's deserving now, and would have been hard to believe if he wasn't a first ballot guy. Mark Burley, nice to see him get 11%, gets a little bit closer. I don't think I voted for him too. I voted for Mark Burley. I hope that he gets in. I don't think it's realistic. I think at some point in time, maybe it's a veterans committee type of thing, but it just seems like the hill is too steep for him to get up there. And there aren't as many people like me that look at him, his candidacy aging well because of the way we view starting pitchers. So I hope he gets in, but I'm doubtful.
I love this. I love talking about this. I love debating this. The Ichiro Suzuki, no doubt about it. He was the guy. I don't know if there's a rule, David, maybe you can tell me. Is there a rule that you have to have a class bigger than one? And there's also the Veterans Committee, so there's a couple of guys with some local ties that are getting in from the veteran standpoint. In my opinion, I would have only, if I was voting, only Ichiro would have gotten my vote. I want to stay consistent. CC Sabathia, we could talk about it, but he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. And my other question is this. Why in the world does the Baseball Hall of Fame voters have an issue with closers? I mean, why did it take Billy Wagner, who is top eight all time in that category, to get to this point? In my world, you're either a first ballot or a second ballot, or you got to wait till the Veterans Committee decide to, you know, feel sorry for you and let you in. Okay, whatever. But like, why did it take his last time to get in when he's top eight to ever do something in the history of the sport? Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I think the answer to that question is the reason I wouldn't have voted him for the Hall of Fame. I think Billy Wagner has got something like a 10.0 ERA in the playoffs, and I think it's great when you can be among the top 10 to do something, but when you can't get it done when it counts most, that's kind of how you judge closers, right? I just think there aren't a lot of there's not a lot of understanding of what you're looking for in a closer. And I think that the whole idea of like Hall of Fame or not, I think, you know a Hall of Famer when you see one. You know, Ichiro Suzuki's a Hall of Famer, period, end of story. I can't believe anyone would vote against him, even as a you know, well, he wasn't good enough. Jeter got a vote against him, so you can't let him in. Jeter should have gotten in, and this guy should get in. I don't understand why you're trying to, you know, keep it from being unanimous. I also think that CC Sabathia is a Hall of Famer, and I love guys that are especially like big baseball players that are not really in shape, that didn't have to get every ounce out of what they had because they were good enough to be good enough. And I just there's something about that element of baseball. Some of my favorite all-time players are guys that were in half shape, and I appreciate that. I mean, CC, man, what an amazing career. So yeah, I don't dislike the class, and I suppose if it was me, I'd include Billy Wagner. I just think more people need to get in. I don't know why you have to be kind of guardians of the gate. I think it's a, you know, you look at Billy Wagner's reaction. I'm glad he got in. Wouldn't that have been awful if he was weeping because he didn't get in? If a guy's going to cry, he's going to cry.
I don't know if that answered the question.
What do you think of Matis Buzelis being picked or volunteering to compete in the NBA dunk contest? And will Buzelis be the only Bull represented at the All-Star game?
I hope Zach LaVine makes it. And you look at how many 30-point games he has, and he's tied now with Bob Love for the lead in Bulls history, which blows my mind. But That's great. I think he's a hell of a player, and I hope he gets in. I think it'd be great to see him make it, and I think he's had a good enough year. I don't, you know, people say, what about Vooch? I don't think you get two when you have this kind of a season. And if I had to choose one or the other, I would take Zach LaVine.
Believe it or not, I think Zach LaVine also deserves a trip to this year's All-Star game.
Now, there's a headline. There's a headline.
He has been playing. He's been playing really, really well. Those don't always result in wins. This would also, a trip to the All-Star game would help his stock, if it needs any more help, to get his contract and Max LaVine out of town. I'm ready for that to happen. As far as Bizzell is good, it drives me wild that more stars in the NBA do not want to participate in All-Star Saturday night. I actually prefer All-Star Saturday night than the actual All-Star game. But Bezalis, what was up the other night? I mean, the Bulls won against the Clippers. They did it pretty handily as far as NBA games are concerned.
Yeah.
And Bezalis didn't play in the second half.
One for six in the first half.
And then Billy said, oh, I kind of forgot about it.
One for six.
I mean, how does AK feel about that?
He's one for six. You got to play way out of the floor.
But when Max LaVine's one for six, David, you're still clapping for the guy.
You can't even compare those two things. That's absurd. Zach LaVine has 109 30-point games on his resume. And you want me to compare it to Matas Bezalis? Please.
But he does have one for six. He does have one for six. He does have one for six scoring nights. He does score 2 points in the first half of an NBA game, despite the fact of being a max player.
Okay. Bezalis is a creative dunker. He's explosive. He's an athlete. I think he wanted to be part of the dunk contest. It's understandable. What? He's 19. Those kids love that stuff. But can he bring the three-point shooters to miss the three-pointers so he can dunk the rebound? Because those are some of his best moments when he's dunking rebounds. I don't know if there's going to be another All-Star with the Bulls, but Zach LaVine has earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe a career. Get him back in the All-Star team. This guy is underappreciated. I don't know how long he'll be a Bull. Casey Johnson thinks they're going to have to keep him. There's trade chatter about Vooch, maybe more prevalent. Did you see the Suns made a big trade yesterday to get 3 first-round draft picks that they can deal? You wonder if they're going to be in the Vooch market, or are they going all in on Jimmy Butler? A lot of intrigue as we get nearer February 6th. I don't know how much will include the Bulls, but glad for Bezalis, who needs this maybe boost of confidence, gives him something to do over the All-Star break, and I hope that he is accompanied by Zach LaVine.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
With a final nod to the college football playoffs, how did the longest season in college football history treat you? Was it the best? What about potential tweaks, and what would you change?
Well, I would reseed the playoff field once you get into it, and I think, or if not reseeding, I would reexamine how you assign buys. And teams like Boise State and Arizona State did not deserve to be given those breaks in the bracket. And I think that, to me, was the biggest disparity. You can continue to evaluate whether or not you want the 12 most deserving teams or the 12 best teams and talk about that. But I like 12 as a number, as long as they're seeded correctly and the matchups make sense. I didn't mind how long the season went. I think these guys are quasi-professionals. I understand that there's a difference, and I continue to look at. There are two different versions of college football. But the one we saw in the 12-team playoff, those programs, those Power Four programs and everybody else, they understand what they're getting themselves into. It is professional football. They have $20 million payrolls. So I don't have as much maybe empathy or sympathy for the season that lasts as long. They've got to be smart about it, but these coaches are these days. I loved everything that happened about the playoff. I was riveted to almost every game. Maybe it was because Notre Dame was involved. Maybe because the Big Ten won again. They are the best football conference in America. SEC, take that.
Take that, SEC. David, you and I will agree on that wholeheartedly. I would add 2 teams immediately. There would be no buys. I love the first game being on the campus of the higher-seeded team. I thought that was really, really cool. Would any team want the bye? The byes didn't help. All the teams with the byes lost. right? I mean, remember that. So, you know, the other part about this, I mean, we wouldn't get to talk about Scataboo if it wasn't for this. Like, we wouldn't, a lot of people wouldn't know outside of ASU who Scataboo was without, you know, the fact that he starred as we all sat under a blanket on New Year's Day at 11 a.m. and watched that game get going. So I would add two more teams, no buys, continue to play on the college campus the original week. I enjoyed it, of course, because Notre Dame got to where they got to. I just don't know if and when Notre Dame will ever be able to be the last team standing.
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting to just take a look at the college season and reflect upon it. You know, Notre Dame and Ohio State, there's no chance they'd have been in a championship game. They wouldn't have been in the playoffs if you hadn't expanded things. And that's really interesting because, you know, the team that really got the worst draw of any team was Oregon. How did they wind up having to play Ohio State? You know, I saw that Jim Phillips is talking about kind of how they're going to do their thing with the conference champion and how they're going to deal with that. I think Jim sees it coming a mile away, and I think he understands that we're going to get to a point where some of these teams aren't going to want to be in a conference championship. They're going to see a better future for themselves and better opportunity if they don't play in a conference championship. Because look what happened to Oregon.
Look at Oregon.
I got to tell you, you should scuttle the conference championship thing right now.
Money grabs.
Too much money. I know it's money grabs. You don't need any conference champion getting a bye or getting a home game or whatever it is. You take the top four teams in the country, even if three of them are in the same a conference, and you put them as the top four teams, and then you go from there. Because the way they did this, it was a joke. It was there were two conference champions that didn't deserve to have a bye week or a home game, and they showed you that immediately. And I think it ended up damaging teams. I'm not far away from what you're saying, Dustin. Just scuttle. Make it 14 and scuttle the idea of having any kind of bye weeks. I think I could live with that. But I would say this idea that you got to have conference representation is a joke. And I get it. It's like it's just a way there's tradition and it's a way of making those games matter. But they don't matter. And I think we saw that by the time the tournament was over. Great, great season. Loved all the games. Can't believe how much I enjoyed the expanded playoffs because I wasn't sure if I liked the idea. I thought it was phenomenal. So keep tweaking. Don't you stop your tweaking. All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What do you want to hear most from Ben Johnson later today at Hallis Hall? And how important is it for Johnson to show he can be as effective of a communicator as he has shown a play caller?
That's the question that I think people had about Ben Johnson. How is he in front of the room? We were studying his press conferences and parsing his language and wondering during his interviews if he had what it took to get in front of players, to get in front of a microphone and project confidence, all the kinds of things you want to hear from a head coach. I think we got a glimpse yesterday. Did not know that about Ben Johnson. A little bit more rah-rah than I expected, and I don't mind it. You want your football coach to be a balance of many things. We know he can do the math. There will be math. And we know he's a math major and a mathematician. But now yesterday, who knew that he had that evangelical side to him? He could get a crowd excited. I think you'll hear today a mixture of that. I hope you hear a plan for Caleb Williams. I hope you hear somebody who's talking about winning a Super Bowl at some point in time. Think big. You'll hear the Packer rhetoric. I know they have to beat the Packers. And Lovie Smith made famous on his first day how committed he was to that goal. Ben Johnson will impress everybody today. I'm looking forward to hearing him, to seeing him, to feeling what it's like in that building, because I do think he brought a new energy. It is a new day, and I think today's going to be a good one.
I want to hear him say, not only do I want to beat the Packers, I want to beat the Vikings, and I want to beat the Lions, and I want to line up with Ryan Poles and take the North and never give it back. That's what I want to hear from him. Now, it's going to be different today than it was yesterday. He's going to take questions. Heck, he might take questions from you two, for all I know, later today at Halisall. So we'll wait and see. One thing to walk in to your new home, be given a standing ovation by people that are working in the building. I don't think the press corps is going to stand up and give a standing ovation when he walks in the room today. And they're doing this in a different spot. Is there anything to that, guys? They're not doing the press conference where they normally do it. They're using a different room for some reason. I wonder what's up with that.
What do you mean?
Well, what do I mean? I read the press release. Usually they do it at, you guys know this better than me, Muggs Hall is where they typically have done every other press conference when they've introduced a Bears head coach since they moved to that facility. They're using a different room today with more like projectors and high-tech stuff where they would do like presentations. So they're doing it in a, I read they're doing it in a different room than they typically do. And is that all about the Kevin Warren effect and doing things differently up at Halisall?
We'll look into that.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. You're way ahead of where I'm at with it. I got to tell you, I think this is an easy day. I think you've got to be yourself. I think you've got to have the right message. It should be similar to the one that he gave to the group when he went into the building. I think that he needs to be kind of relaxed. He needs to answer questions, but this is the accumulation of days, right? This is what you do in your career when you start out, all that you do. This is a big moment for him because it's just about all that he's done to get to this point. I think you talk about that, and I think that this, you don't overly complicate it. You don't say anything you don't believe. You talk about the role that you have and the job you're going to do, and you talk about it outside yourself. Talk about all the people that will help, that have helped you get there and will help you as you get this job. I think it's you know, don't get caught up in yourself. Have a vision. Talk about the vision. Talk about the plan. Whatever you said was good enough to get you hired. Talk about that. And I think he'll do very well, and I think everybody will be pumped up about it.
Yeah, it's a big moment. He'll win the press conference going away.
Yeah.
There's more to it than winning the press conference.
He's leading right now.
Yeah.
And this is just coming in the bottom of the ninth, and there's no pressure on you. You're just doing a little celebratory thing.
And last night, yesterday's moment, yesterday's occasion was a really good opening act for what we're going to see today.
That's it.
It got people a little bit revved up to see more because his first impression was a great one. He didn't seem like he was overwhelmed.
No, he didn't. And that's how you handle yourself, and he shouldn't be overwhelmed because, like I said, this is a moment where you take a little bit of a bow. About everything you've accomplished, but you know, you talk about the future, you talk about other people, and you keep yourself and your ego out of it, and you should do fine. It's hard to lose this one. All right. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 312-644-6767. We'll get to your phone calls after the break. Mully and Haw on the score.
Money.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Joe Ostrowski from BetQL, and he joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Joseph, good morning. How are you?
It is a good morning, guys. You know, I trust the betting markets as much as anyone. But last week, even while telling you guys, okay, Ben Johnson's a favorite, big move the other day, he's even a bigger favorite. In my heart of hearts, I never believed the Bears were going to get him. I thought it was going to be McCarthy or Kingsbury because he was the big fish. But I'm as shocked as you guys sound to be.
We are, Joe.
And excited.
What did that do to the Bears' Super Bowl odds? I saw some crazy numbers being floated around because people are as excited as you would think. Is that reflected in the market?
Yeah, so what I'm really interested in is the win total. because I heard Bigsy with you yesterday, and he kind of quickly mentioned it about the expectations and how out of whack we get here. Like, we just went through this. We talked about Eberflus being the favorite for the coach of the year a matter of months ago.
Oh, boy.
And it always seems to happen. If you look at the win total every year on the Bears, there's heavy juice on the over, because when they get posted to when the season starts, for the most part, Bears fans are betting over, over, over. And so I looked at the last 12 years. That is since Lovie Smith. So last four coaches over 12 years. How many times do you think the Bears went over the preseason win total? Another way of saying, how many times did they exceed expectations in the last 12 years?
Twice?
Once.
Once. It happened once. That's unlike any team in the NFL. Yeah, it happened once. It was Matt Nagy's first year when everything went right. Did they have an offensive lineman hurt that year?
No.
I don't think they did. Right, everything went perfect. So I'm really curious where they slot the Bears. Remember this summer that even a tough division, and it proved to be true during the regular season, the Bears are slotted as the third team. Are they going to be slotted there again? I don't know how you can do that based on the regular season results that we saw from these other teams, but I think that's going to be fascinating, what the win total ends up being. It was 8.5 last year with Eberflus. You're going to have hype once again. They have the fourth most cap space. They've got a few draft picks very high. We're going to get excited, and we should be, but road games, guys, they're going to Baltimore to face Lamar. They're going to Cincinnati to face Burrow. They're going to face the Eagles and Washington, the two teams meeting up in the NFC Championship on Sunday. I don't want to throw cold water today, but it's going to be interesting how we all handle it as the offseason moves along.
I mean, this is the problem, is you don't even know what their team will look like. They got
no idea.
They got just $75 million. Are they going to spend it all? They got, you know, what, three top 50 picks? I just don't know what they're going to do. I also wonder, when you talk about next year's college football odds, who's quarterback and whom, right? I mean, these guys, we haven't even gotten to the auction section of the program.
I know. I know. I guess the one thing that we do know is it's probably going to be Arch with Texas. And Texas is the second favorite. But outside of that, we don't have much of an idea. Look at Ohio State. They just won a championship with a brand new quarterback. You know, they had changes, a bunch of changes from the previous season. They got their best players to return with the $20 million. So, yes, there are odds on that at the moment, but it's tough to project. I don't know anybody that's thinking, oh, you've got to go on this. You got to make a bet here. You got to make a bet there, because you don't know what's going to happen. Now, you know, Notre Dame is, they're the sixth favorite. They're right behind Penn State. They're in that 12-1, 15-1 range. Uh-huh. Same story. We don't know the quarterback. Who's going to be under center for Notre Dame? And for much of the year, that was something that was a question with that team, but they still were able to get to the title game. Obviously, we will see tweaks. I don't know if it's going to be next year or maybe a couple of years down the road. Let this play out a little bit. But it's funny, as I look at the odds for these teams for next year's championship, I think, okay, they wanted to go from 4-12, and partly because they said, oh, it's the same teams every year. We're just mixing and matching the champion, same four teams every year. I wonder if that's going to be the same thing down the road. I would not have a problem with it, though, because look how much more football we got, how much more entertaining it was. But I have a feeling it's probably going to be a lot of the same teams, maybe a couple swap outs, you know, like Arizona State, Boise, Indiana. You know, maybe some of those teams aren't going to be back every year, but that's going to be interesting. It's Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State, then Notre Dame.
30 seconds, Joe. What about this weekend's games?
All right. The best bet, I think, is, and it did well over the weekend, is if you do a teaser where you can take two teams, you can move the point spread 6 points. So you would get Buffalo +8 and Philadelphia. You would just need them to win. I'll say this. I mean, it's Jaden Daniels, what we're looking at might be the best rookie season by a quarterback ever, but it is very different to face that Detroit Lions defense with a bunch of backups as opposed to Vic Fangio's defense with Jalen Carter and Slay and Sweat and Quinyon Mitchell, what he's done in his rookie year. I like the Eagles to win and cover. They would have covered if Jake Elliott would have hit his two extra points the other day. And maybe I'm hoping it happens, but I like the Bills this weekend. But they're going to have to watch out for Kelce. He did nothing in the regular season matchup. He's been awesome in the playoffs. He did it again this week.
Great stuff, Joe. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
That is Joe Ostrowski, our guy with BetQL. Interesting stuff. We've got to get to our
Tuck Ben Johnson.
Yes, our conversation about Ben Johnson.
Big day at Halas Hall.
Head coach. Mully and Haw on the score.